Hello and welcome to the Gathering's Message of the Week. Thank you for listening. It is our prayer that through these messages, God would inspire, challenge, and encourage you. For more information about our church, please visit gatheringtohim.org. That's gathering, number two, him.org. Enjoy and be blessed.
Rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. This is something that we can take to the bank. We can have confidence in the fact that God's word will always produce fruit. Always produce fruit. If we share his word, if we're faithful to share, we don't have to know everything. We just have to know what Christ has done and what he has done for us. It's the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. We know that Jesus has died on the cross. We know that he has given his life for our sake. And not only do we know that, but we also know what he did specifically for us, how he changed our lives. Sharing that is the word of the Lord. And it changes people's lives. They may fight it, just like John Luke said. You know, there are people out there that might fight it, but don't discount anybody. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. It always produces fruit. Man, we need to get that settled in our heart. Doesn't matter whether they reject us or not, the word will produce fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Hallelujah. That's good. That's good. Okay. The Son of Man, Jesus said, came to seek and to save the lost. Right? He said that one of his main purposes, in fact, we believe that this is his primary purpose, is to seek and to save the lost. This is why Jesus came. He came for the sake of those who did not know him. In fact, we know that this is his purpose. We see in the scriptures, in the gospels, how Jesus traveled from place to place. In fact, there were a couple times that people came to him after he had healed the sick, preached the good news about the kingdom, and people came to him and they were like, no, we want you to stay with us. And Jesus said, I can't stay here. I have to go on to other places too. Why did he have to go to other places? Because he was broadcasting the word, the seed. The word is the seed. He was broadcasting the word. So Jesus traveled throughout Israel. We know he traveled throughout the land and was ministering in the power of the Spirit. And we also know that during his ministry, we not only saw Jesus doing it, but he was multiplying himself. He had 12 who were right next to him, the 12 apostles of the Lamb, right? 12 disciples became apostles. We know that it says in the scripture that he sent them out. He sent them out and he sent them to do the exact same thing that he was doing. Then later on, we see he sends out the 70, he grabbed 72 other disciples and sent them out in pairs. And he said, I want you to go and I want you to minister the gospel of the kingdom. And so we see that this is Jesus' pattern. Jesus actually turns not only from them, but then later he gives this command that far reaches, it's far beyond the disciples who were standing there next to him. But he says, he looks at them, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And this is our command. Even as the Father had sent Jesus into the earth, he also is sending us. God's word is eternal. Remember, Jesus is the word. It's an eternal word. He's sending us. This is the Great Commission. The Great Commission, we could find it all throughout the Gospels, but you know, the real nuts and bolts of the Great Commission are found at least 5 times in the Scriptures, right? Who can shout out what's the gist of the Great Commission? Okay, some of you know it. That's awesome. So we go into all the world and we make disciples. Let's look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Jesus came and told his disciples, this is the last words of this account of the gospel. And he says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. By the way, anybody here want the closeness of Jesus? I want Jesus to be close to me. You know what he says about that? He says, if you go and you take my message, you take my gospel to the nations, he said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. You want the fire of God to be stirred up in your life? Start sharing the good news. Go with mission, because he sent you. Amen? I just want to say that if he's going to send us, we need to understand that for him to send us, it's going to cause some inconveniences in our life. Let's look at Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, and we're going to start in verse 5. Now the apostle said to the Lord, show us how to increase our faith. And the Lord answered, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, may you be uprooted and thrown into the sea, and it would obey you. And when a servant comes in from plowing or taking care of sheep, does his master say, come in and eat with me? No, he says, prepare my meal, put on your apron, and serve me while I eat. Then you can eat later. And does the master thank the servant for doing what he was told to do? Of course not. In the same way, when you obey me, you should say, we are unworthy servants who have simply done our duty. What I want to say is that if we are going to be faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ in the command of the Lord, if he's boss, if he's master, that means that we have to have availability. If he's master and I'm servant, according to this passage, the way it looks is when a servant comes in from plowing or taking care of the sheep, by the way, you know, this is what we do, the work of sowing seed, farming. You know, we're farming for new believers. We're farming for a harvest, a crop, right? We can talk about farming, fishing, all of that stuff. You know, we're looking for a new crop. But here's the thing. Jesus is saying, listen, if we want to be faithful to him, and if we want to see our faith increase, and we want to see, by the way, I believe this is tied to the supernatural. If we want to see our faith increase, then we must become available for the work of the Lord. What that means is it's going to create some inconveniences in our lives. In other words, there are going to be times when you're doing things that you want to do, times when you're going your direction, times when you feel like you're just too busy, and a door will open up before you. Remember last week we said we were praying that God would create divine appointments for us, not just create them, but make us aware of them. Because the problem is we get so busy with our lives, so concerned about what we have going on, that sometimes we miss the importance of what it is that he's called us to do. And there could be opportunities sitting in front of us, but we will never know it because we're too busy. Our ears are closed, and we have tunnel vision. We're more concerned about ourselves. We have to become available. We have to die to ourselves. We have to die to ourselves. This is why we have to die to ourselves. We're going to be obedient to the master, obedient to the Lord. Then we have to die to what we want, to what we're doing, and serve out of obedience. And then when all the good things happen, we don't rise up and say, I did it. I did it. No, Lord, we unworthy servants. By the way, there's a reward. He'll reward you. The reward is in this life and in the next. But he'll reward you. The truth of the matter is that you don't need to worry about trying to get your own reward. Just be faithful and he'll reward you. Amen? So we die to ourselves. We serve out of obedience. Evangelism, just most of the time, I would say about 99% of the time, is just not convenient. That's the truth. Evangelism, most of the time, is going to take us out of our comfort zones and going to make us feel inconvenienced in our life. It's not convenient. I mean, think about this. Jesus taught us this very, very well. The truth of the matter is, Jesus was ministering. We know that the crowds were following. Jesus had, you know, like people were showing up. By the way, I love this passage because it says that the crowds, Jesus was in a remote place and the crowds came to him. It doesn't matter where we're located if we've got the goods. Amen? Some people worry about location all the time. Jesus was out and they followed him. Like, here he is. So he's out in this place, in this remote place, and he ends up two times, back to back, feeding of the 5,000, feeding of the 4,000. And both times, it's a really interesting scenario. I'd love to take the time to just teach the whole thing right now, but I can't. But Jesus says to the disciples both times, by the way, the first time the disciples came to him, they were really tired. This all started with Jesus saying, let's go and get some rest. That's how this whole thing started. 5,000 people show up in their face. And Jesus looks at him and says, well, let's teach them. And after we get done teaching, the disciples come and they say, you know, it's been a long day. Hey, these people out here are tired, right? It doesn't have anything to do with me. These people out here, they're tired and they're hungry. And we got to send them away so they can go to the villages and the towns and the markets and find something to eat. And Jesus says, well, you feed them. You feed them. See, it's not convenient. So they're like, what are we going to feed them? We don't have anything. What do you have? And so they bring these, you know, they find these loaves and fishes, and Jesus multiplies what they have. He shows them, you know, how God can multiply what you have. Then just a short while after that, 4,000 people standing there in front of them. And Jesus looks at them, you know, through this whole thing, and he's like, man, I don't want these people, send these people away because they might get faint along the road and pass out or something. You know, hint, hint. What do you guys think? What do you guys think? And they're like, where are we going to get food for all these people? It's never convenient. It's never comfortable. But Jesus is saying, listen, you feed them. You do what it takes. Do what you have. Give what you have. Sow what you have. And I believe he'll multiply what you got. Evangelism is never convenient and it's never comfortable. At least most of the time, I don't believe that it is. So, we've got to become available. I'm going to go through a whole bunch of points concerning evangelism I think are very necessary for us to hear. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 11, then I'm going to jump ahead to verse 16. Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. You understand your fearful responsibility to the Lord? Paul said that because we understand this, because we understand, because we fear God, we have a fearful responsibility to him, that we work hard to persuade others. Y'all heard the passage that where it says, compel them to come. You know, persuasion, compelling people to come. You know, there is this, we should be working hard. Just like was said, spoken here earlier, we're not going to give up. We're going to keep sowing the word. We're going to keep speaking to the people who resist. Verse 16, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. We are his ambassadors. An ambassador is one who is sent by the kingdom or the ruling power of a nation sent by them with the authority of the nation to speak on behalf of the ruling authority within the nation. You understand? In other words, they've been given the kingdom authority to speak on their behalf. We've been given that. In fact, not just to speak, but also to act. We've been given authority, according to the scripture. It's what an ambassador is. But here's what I want to concentrate on. We have this fearful responsibility to compel and to convince people, right, of this good news. And in verse 16, he said, so because of this, because we have this fearful responsibility, and we know that Christ wants all people to be reconciled to God. That's the work he did on the cross, so he could reconcile people to the Father. Because of this, we now have stopped evaluating people according to the flesh. In other words, we quit looking at them like we used to. Quit looking at them. I don't see people like I used to see them. I don't see them like I used to see them. I'll never forget Jim Thomas one time. He told this story about how he used to work at MGLOW. And he was young in the Lord, passionate and really zealous for, people to be changed and zealous for God. And anyway, there was some guys, and he was also around. They were like construction-type workers. And don't want to give a bad name to all construction-type workers, but we know how it goes. And it's the world. And there was one guy in particular that he said to God, he said, and I don't know exactly how he said it or how it went down, but I know that he said it with, he was convinced and he was absolutely sure. He said, God, there's no way that guy will ever be saved. No way he'll ever get saved. And just a short while later, very short amount of time, he walked in and this guy who was foul, abusive in his language, you know, hard to get along with, difficult guy, totally, you know, just an obstruction to his day, came to work one day, and the guy comes right up to Jim and says, Jim, you're never going to believe this. Jim was right. The guy was right. He wasn't going to believe it. He got saved, and he gave his life to the Lord. And Jim said, I learned a very valuable lesson that day. I learned that you can never evaluate a person according to the flesh. And this is what I want to say to all of us, that we cannot look at people the way that we used to look at them. I mean, Paul says it in Scripture, why are you surprised when sinners sin? That's what they do. So we don't look at them and write them off. Oh man, that's a bad one, they ain't coming in. I think we need to see it the opposite way. Those people who sit in such deep darkness, when the light shines, see it first. They're the ones that recognize it the first. I think we need to believe that God wants to save all men, all women. He wants to save all mankind and bring them into the kingdom of God. He wants to reconcile them to himself. And listen, it's people that evaluate people like that. You know, our sin, whether we grew up in a church or we thought we were good or whatever, it does not matter. It says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. The biggest issue is that the people who think that they lived a semi-good life think that they lived a semi-good life. That's a problem. We have to know that we need Christ. We have to know that we're sinners. And if we don't admit it, we can't receive the salvation that Jesus has paid for. But these people know they're sinners. They know that they are not living in the light. But when the light shines, they can see it. They can see the light. We have got to stop evaluating people by what we see with our natural eyes. We've got to start believing that the Spirit is powerful enough to change their life. The Bible says that the gospel is the power unto God to change people, to bring them to salvation, right? It's the power of God. It is the power of God. So we need to believe that it's the power of God. How many of you heard the news? I just found this out last night. You knew I was going to say it, didn't you? Kanye West. You guys know who that is? Have you heard of the Kardashians? he's married to one of the Kardashians. And, you know, I spent quite a bit of time last night after I heard this, just listening to what he had to say, listening. I think it's genuine. You can't say some of the things he's saying without it being, you can't say some of what he's saying. He's a rapper and musician, and he is saying, I am a servant of God. I'm a servant of God, and I've come to do the will of God. Listen, we can't write anybody off. You can't write people off. We have to believe that God wants to change people. We have the power of God. We have the power of God to change lives. Amen? 1 Corinthians 9. Verse 19. Paul says, even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I too lived under the law. Even though I am not subject to the law, I did this so I could bring to Christ those who are under the law. When I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from that law so that I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God, I obey the law of Christ. And he goes on, when I am with those who are weak, I share their weaknesses, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and to share in its blessings. And I want to say this, you know, the version I'm reading doesn't say it, but this is what Paul says. He says, I become all things to all people so that I might save some. And becoming all things to all people doesn't mean that we run off and we jump into sin and become like the rest of the world. That's not what it's saying. But it does say, I'll do just about anything. I'll dress like they dress. I'll look like they look. I'll talk like they talk. Please understand. Again, as Christ would. But I will look like they look, and I will walk like they walk, and I'll try to rub shoulders with them so that I can gain common ground with them. Paul's saying, I'll just do about anything to win them to Christ. Now, this might be offensive to us in some regards, but it was really offensive to them. Really offensive to the Jews. You have to understand, you're telling me that you're going to walk completely away from the law so that you can save those sinners? I mean, they viewed them as filthy. They were untouchable. Don't go near them. They're unclean. And please understand, if you can walk into places and maintain your righteousness, and you can rub shoulders with people, I advise you to do it. But if you can't, stay away from it. The Bible says you have to be careful with who you walk with. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm 1 says, you know, be careful who you walk with, who you sit with, you know, who you talk with, who you stand around with. Don't do it if it's going to be a problem for you. I believe that. But if you're going there with the mission of Christ and you have the word of God on your lips, then do it. Be with those people. Be with them. I think that we have to become all things to all people. Don't be afraid to move outside of your box, is what I'm saying. Paul was a Jew by birth. And he had all kinds of boxes put around him. His whole upbringing was a box. I mean, it was law. And he knew it. And he was taught the best. But when the time came, when God got a hold of his heart, when Jesus Christ, you know, birthed the light of Christ, came alive in him, he became all things to all people so that he might save some. Not stepping into their dirt and mud, you know, and the sin. But he did faithfully obey Jesus, going anywhere, into any culture, doing anything, eating like they eat, doing what they do, so that he might gain common ground with them and share the good news. We got to be willing to cross the other side of the tracks. That's what I'm saying. That's what I believe the scripture says. This is another part of dying to yourself. But I don't like those people. You got to understand, I don't get along with them. Maybe you should try a little harder. Because it's not about you. The kingdom is not about you. Remember, you're a servant. Remember being a servant? You know what a servant does? They serve and they don't ask questions. They take orders. They listen to the boss. Oh, we don't like that in our society. I know it. But this is different. We're in a kingdom and there's only one king, and his law is his word. And when he speaks, we obey. Amen? Become all things to all people. Cross the tracks. It doesn't matter. You might be surprised who you have influence with. Luke chapter 16. I guess I have to read the whole thing. Verse 1. Jesus told this story to his disciples. There was a certain rich man who had a manager handling his affairs. One day a report came that the manager was wasting his employer's money. So the employer called him in and said, "What's this I hear about you? Get your report in order because you are going to be fired." The manager thought to himself, "Now what? My boss has fired me. I don't have the strength to dig ditches and I'm too proud to beg." He's got a real problem. "I know how to ensure that I'll have plenty of friends who will give me a home when I'm fired." So he invited each person who owed him money or who owed money to his employer to come and discuss the situation. He asked the first one, "How much do you owe him?" And the man replied, "I owe him 800 gallons of olive oil." Sounds like a lot to me. So the manager told him, "Take the bill and quickly change it to 400. "And how much do you owe my employer?" he asked the next man. "I owe him 1,000 bushels of wheat," was the reply. "Here," the manager said, "take the bill and change it to 800 bushels. The rich man had to admire the dishonest rascal for being so shrewd. And it is true that the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with the world around them than are the children of the light. "Here's the lesson," Jesus says. "Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then when your earthly possessions are gone, they will welcome you into an eternal home." Use your worldly wealth to make friends. I believe that we need to consider that Jesus is actually trying to communicate to us that we should use everything that we have access to win people for the kingdom. Everything that we have access to. That means, first of all, your worldly wealth, your money, your possessions. So, what might that look like? Maybe you saw somebody in need, you know, in the community, and you helped them out. Maybe it was, you gave them a financial donation. Maybe you went to their house and you brought them food when they were hurting, or you did something. You used what you had. You gave them something when they had need, and it opened a door to share the gospel. You made a friend for the sake of the kingdom. And he's saying, listen, when it all runs out, because it's going to run out, whether you're wealthy or you have much or you have little, eventually your funds are going to run out because you're going to die. And when you die, he's saying, listen, if you have done well with what I've given you, these people that you have brought to Christ, you've brought into the kingdom, are going to welcome you into the kingdom when you get there. This is what he's getting at. He's saying, listen, use what you have for the sake of the kingdom. And I want to submit to you today that it's not just what you have financially. You may have a vehicle, you may have something to give somebody a ride with. I don't know. You have something. And I also want to submit to you that it's not just the financial worldly wealth that we have to give, but it's all the gifts that God has given us. I want to talk about the difference between, you know, we oftentimes talk about spiritual gifts, but I want to talk about the difference between spiritual gifts and creation gifts. The gifts that God has given you at birth. You know, all of us have been given something at birth. We've been given certain abilities, certain likes, dislikes, things that we like to do, things that we're good at. Some people are great at sports. Some people were great at things like hunting, music. Some people are great with music. They love music. Listen, you know, our brother who's our now in-house evangelist over here, Frank Young, which he is. This is his heart. I know he's an evangelist. And the Lord has called him to that. He has this ministry over here, which we are in full support of. You know, the outdoor ministry. This is something, this didn't just happen because, you know, he's kind of like a suit and tie office guy. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, God is using what he is good at and loves, and he's allowing God to do that to reach people who also love to hunt and love to fish and love the outdoors. He's using him, God is using him to reach the next generation with what he loves to do. I walk around, I see him, you know, in various ministry settings and places. Like, allow me to do this, Frank. I hope you're okay with it. Don't answer because I'm going to do it anyway. But he'll be in places, in various places that he's at, and I'll notice that every guy with a camo hat shows up and is talking to him. In all of Somerset County, every guy that has camo knows Frank Young. And then there are women that also have camo that know him. It's the truth. It's just how it works. Why? Because not only does he have a voice, you know, and people respect what he says and respect the work of the Lord in him, but they also like the fact that he likes the woods and he likes to do what they like. So man, he has a bridge that's already automatically built and he's just using it for the kingdom of God. What bridge has God already given you? Some of you like to cook. Some of you do that. Some of you, you know, are great. Some of you, I don't know, it could be sewing or something. I don't know. I mean, seriously, there are people that knit things and then give them away and stuff. I hear that Derek really likes knit stuff, so give him all of your knit items. How about sports? I just recently, Becca was telling me about a friend of hers who that she met, I believe it was at college, who has now become, she is in ministry, I think, but she also coached a women's softball team and led the whole team to Christ. Why? Because she's good at sports and she became a coach, and it was her thing. The question isn't whether you're good at it or not. The question is, are you going to use it as a bridge for the thing that you love? Because if you love that thing more than you love Christ, you'll never share Christ through that. But if it has its proper place, if it's under the rulership of Christ, you'll use it as a bridge to get them to what you really love. I become all things. All people, that's part of it. Using what God has given you. He might have given you financial wealth and those kind of things, but what has he given you that you love to do, you love in your life? Some people like working on vehicles or stuff like that. People love to talk shop about those things. You know, talk shop and then lead them to Christ. People want to talk about marriage and, you know, like you're talking about your life and what God is doing in you. You're sharing those things. Hey, it might be something as simple as, you know, like Rich Niscali here, he loves to fish. And I know he has a boat, so anybody who wants to go, he's going to take you. That's not what I meant. What I meant is that he will use fishing to reach people. Because he's not just fishing for fish. Amen? This is fishing for men. Jesus said, listen, now I'll teach you how to fish for men. Amen? This is what he wants to do. He wants to use your creation gifts, the things that you're good at. Don't discount them. Use them. Use what you're good at. Use what you have. You know, hunting was an idol for me. And it's not anymore. But it was an idol for me growing up. And I never would have ever thought of sharing Christ through hunting. I had to give it up. But the truth is, things have to have their proper order, and when they do, they will be used for the Lord. Now I can hunt, and I can use that for the Lord. I can take somebody hunting. I can say, hey, listen, let's use this for the opportunity to talk to somebody. It's common ground with them. Maybe you're great at business. Maybe you have, you know, it's great ideas in the business world, and there are other people who like that. They're attracted to that. You have opportunities. I said cooking a little while ago. Maybe you like to cook. Maybe you can not only do a recipe group or, you know, whatever, or maybe you give your food away. I don't know. I'm not very good at that, so I wouldn't know what to do. I'm just throwing out ideas. You could give your food away. I'll eat it, and I'll tell people how good it is. Use what you have. Some people are just naturally hospitable. Like, it's their gift to be hospitable. It's what they do. And yet, we live in a society where people have garage door openers, and they pull in their garage, and they shut it, and, you know, and we have cell phones, and we text, and we, you know, we'd like to stay away from each other. But what if you found a way to invite people into your life and invite them over to your house? You don't have to win them to Christ in the first meeting that you have. I mean, I think about the story, you know, of we have in the Old Testament, I'm trying to think of her name now, I just lost it. Oh, come on. Never mind. I guess God doesn't want me to share it. But she, I will say this, okay, it was the woman who three different, she had several meetings with the king before she actually told him what she wanted. Esther, thank you. Esther's sitting right here, and I didn't even think of it. No disrespect. But Esther, who was put in a position, she was hospitable to the king several times before she actually shared what it was that was on her heart. Man, build a relationship. Show people that you love them. Build a relationship, and through that relationship, then look for the opportunity. And when the window opens, you better be ready to step through it. Better be ready to step through the door. Amen? Okay. Now, what about the spiritual gifts? I believe that the spiritual gifts are also, in fact, God has given them for the benefit, not just the benefit of the church and how we minister to each other and encourage one another, but I believe that the gifts are given also to minister in the power of the Holy Spirit so that people know that what we're saying is true. Can't tell you how many times I felt like God has used either the prophetic ministry, giving a word of knowledge or word of wisdom to someone that spoke to them and created a major opportunity, a door that opened before me to share the good news with them. I believe in that. The simplest one, I've told it many, many times, but years ago, talking to a young man who came to Wing Night, I told him that he didn't look the part. I didn't know who he was. He had purple hair, you know, and showed up to Wing Night because it was an outreach ministry that we had at the time. And when he came, the Lord spoke to me as I was walking by his vehicle. He was sitting alone in his vehicle and said, I want you to go back and share a word with him. Give him a message for me. And I said, okay, well, tell me what the message is. And the Lord would not give me the message until I went back. That's just a little key also. Be faithful with what you've been given. Be obedient. So I went back and I said, hey, John, I said, it's going to sound strange, but I have a message for you from Jesus. And he was playing on his phone and he kind of looked at me and, okay, this guy's weird. I have to get out of here soon. And I said, and as soon as I said that, I actually knew the next thing. And the Lord said, you know, tell him it's about his mom. And I said, it's a message about your mom. Well, that got his attention. And he's like, looked at me, went back to his game. And I said, Jesus says that your mom isn't mad at you anymore. And she loves you. She's not mad at you, and she loves you. Well, he freaked out. He looked at me, and he said, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm the pastor of this church, da-da-da," you know, on and on. I'm just being faithful. Jesus told me to tell you this. And he said, "You talk to my friends?" I said, "I don't even know who your friends are, buddy." I said, "I'm just telling you what I know Jesus told me." And here, apparently, a month prior to this appointment, his mom had kicked him out of the house. And so he was living somewhere else. She had called him up that same day that I talked to him. She had called him up and said, "Please come home. I'm not mad at you. Please come home. I'm not mad at you anymore." He thought she was lying, and he hung up the phone on her. And that day, and he refused. He wasn't going to listen to her. And so here I came and shared, you know, that God wasn't, or that God said that his mom was not mad at him anymore and wanted and loved him. Well, tears running down his face after this all, you know, it was revealed to him. And I got to tell him that Jesus loved him too, and that he wanted his life, and he gave his life to the Lord. See, it's called power evangelism, prophetic evangelism, whatever you want to call it. Use the gifts that God has given you. Spiritual gifts are for the purpose of winning souls. We see it all through the book of Acts. Jesus did it. What about the woman at the well? "Come meet a man who told me everything I ever did." We know that he didn't tell her everything she ever did. He just told her this much, just a piece. And she ran back, and a whole town, a whole village came to Jesus because of what he said to her. How about praying for somebody who's sick? Do you believe that God wants to move and bring healing in somebody's life? Oh, you know, years ago, we used to do this thing. We had this, it was like an outreach month that we were doing. We called it Launch. And we would go out into the community and do all of these things. And specific times where we started to take pairs of people and go out, whether downtown or to the mall or to Walmart or somewhere like that. And we would go and we would witness. But with the intention that we were going to let God move in power. If we saw somebody who was sick or somebody was hurting, we were going to pray for them. Jesus said to go. So we said, okay. And we believe that in Mark chapter 16, which I'm about to read, Mark chapter 16, Jesus said, "I want you to go, and these signs will follow those that believe." And we believe that there is something about going that releases heaven on earth. Is God confirms what you say. If you're speaking for Jesus, this is what he said. Verse 15, "And then he told them, 'Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned.'" Go into all the world. So we're still doing that, right? Okay, so to me, this is still legit. We're still going into all the world. We're still doing this. And he says, "These signs," or "these miraculous signs, will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed." Now, that people get hung up on the whole snakes and the poison thing. I want you to understand, he's just talking about protection. Paul walked on the island of, I believe, was it Patmos? And on that island, was bit by a snake, threw it off into the fire, and a whole island got saved because of him. And then it goes on in here. It says, "When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs." Listen, if we want signs and wonders, we got to open our mouth, share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's what he wants to confirm. He wants to confirm the good news. That's why Jesus paid such a high price, so that people would be saved, led into the kingdom. "Heal the sick," Jesus said, and announced the kingdom. When he sent out the 72, he said, "I want you to heal the sick, and announce the kingdom. That sounds like a command. I can show you in other places in the New Testament where it's actually a command. I want to read Luke chapter 10. He's still talking to his disciples who came back from this journey. It says, verse 17, when the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, "Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name." "Yes," he told them, "I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Now look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven." Keep perspective here. At that same time, Jesus was filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit, and he said, "O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Who does the Son choose to reveal the Father to? The childlike. And who are the childlike? They're the ones who are super dependent on the Father. The ones who recognize their need for him. The one who realizes, "I can't do this on my own." Listen, if we think we're super smart, there's all kinds of ways. I understand. I think anything to honor the name of Jesus and to do things for the name of the Lord to get the gospel out is good. But here's what I want to say, is that even when it comes to sharing the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to be super dependent on him. And as we're super dependent on him, as we lean on him, I believe that the authority of the kingdom rests on us. We don't lean on our own understanding. We don't lean on our own ability, our own knowledge. But in all our ways, we acknowledge him and we trust in him and we lean on him. I believe that the authority of the kingdom rests on us. Because Jesus said, "You go into all the world, I'll be with you even to the end of the age." I think that there's something innately connected. We cannot stop connecting the gospel, sharing the gospel with the power of the kingdom. In fact, Paul said himself, he said, "Listen, the full gospel is both power and word." It's both the power of miraculous signs and wonders. In fact, he says this very clear. He says, "Listen, while I was among you," he said, "I worked both in healings and signs and wonders, and I also preached the good news of the kingdom. And in this way, I fully presented the good news," the gospel. Fully presented it. We have got to learn to rely on the King of heaven for his resources. He has unlimited resources. We need to rely on him and his love to work through us. God loves to resource his work. This is his work. Amen? So it's not your strength. That means that we should be praying for opportunities. We should be praying that God would open the door, that he would open the door, and that he would lead us in what we say and also what we do. The Spirit of God be poured out and people would be changed. By the way, that full gospel reference is Romans 15, verses 18 and 19. Healing power, signs and wonders. So I believe that it's both and. The Bible says that Jesus, God publicly endorsed his son Jesus by doing signs and wonders and miracles through him. And what I'm saying is, I believe that he wants to publicly endorse him again. I don't think he's stopped. He's just looking for somebody who's bold enough to step out, willing to trust him to do things that only he can do. That only he can do. People get saved. Listen, no one is exempt. Everyone is possible to come to salvation. Everyone. There's no one exempt. And I believe that we've got to rise up in boldness. We've got to begin to share the gospel and look for the opportunity. This is on God's heart. And I feel like this is no accident. I didn't set this date up like this with the intention of knowing what I was preaching. But I'm so thankful that you're here today, brother, and that you brought the message you brought. Thankful for all the testimonies that you shared. We're going to continue to share testimonies. Of course, I'm not going to be here the next 2 weeks because I'm going to go. I'm going to Kenya. I'm leaving this Friday. You've heard me say it. I appreciate you praying for me and praying for our team that's going. Some people say, you know, they say when asked or challenged to go somewhere with the gospel, they say, listen, I haven't heard God say that. I just don't know I just don't know. But the truth is you need a word to stay because he's already said to go. So I don't care where you're going, just go with the gospel. And if you receive an open door, I think that we see this in the book of Acts where God opens the door. The only way that we don't go is if the Holy Spirit won't let us. That's what they said. The Spirit of God wouldn't let me. I think we should be making effort to go. You guys have your passports? If you don't, get them. Otherwise, you're not ready. What if an opportunity comes? Get ready. I believe it's a step of faith. Just like it was said that, you know, Frank had shared that, you know, going over here and starting into that property, because we're preparing that property, was a step of faith and that God adds to it. He's blessing it. I believe in the same way, when you do something like you get a passport or you take a step to share the gospel, whatever you do is a step of faith and God honors it. Listen, I have gone into restaurants because I believe that God wanted to minister to a certain waiter or waitress. Somebody said, hey, do you want to meet somewhere? I said, yeah, I want to go to this restaurant. Because I'm not there just for your agenda. I'm there for the king's agenda, and he has somebody there. And I knew who it was because I was in there before, and I thought, God wants to get that person. We need to be sensitive. Where is God opening the doors? And then we share the message that God has given us. I've been in a meeting where somebody else challenged me, and the waitress or waiter came up to us. In fact, it was your dad one time, and I've had it other times, but we were sitting there, and the waitress comes up and had a bum wrist, and, hey, can we pray for your wrist? Grabs a hold of the wrist, begins to pray for the brace, the wrist to be healed, and then share the good news. God loves you. He wants your life, loves you. Amen. Be ready. Anywhere is an opportunity. Die to yourself. Be faithful to the King. Would you all stand? Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the challenge. And I know that it's not me who's challenging, but the Holy Spirit at work in us to challenge us, to move us, and to open our mouth, to get back on track, to share the gospel and be faithful with the mission that you've called us to. Jesus, you came to seek and to save the lost. And you said, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And Lord, I pray that we would begin to recognize fully the call of God on our life. That we would overcome the fear of man. That we would overcome the fear of losing our schedule, missing something important to us, that we would get over all the things that stand in the way. Lord, we pull down those strongholds. We just declare that we are free to obey Christ. And Lord, I thank you that you are opening up, continuing to open up doors of opportunity to share the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is your kingdom. It is your good news. But it's also our good news. And Lord, we have been called to share what you have done for the world and for us. And I pray, Lord, that you would empower your people and give them grace. Open their ears to hear your voice, the whispers of your voice leading them. Open their eyes to see the doors of opportunity open up. Lord, I pray, make them spiritually sensitive and aware. May they evaluate no man according to the flesh. But I pray instead they would see the opportunities that you are setting before them, and may they be faithful. Lord, may we be faithful with what you've given us and entrusted us with. May we use our gifts well. May they be bridges for those who don't know you to come into the kingdom. And Lord, we thank you for every opportunity. And we thank you for making us bold and giving us confidence to share the good news, which is the power of God unto salvation. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you need prayer this morning, we'd love to pray for you. Love to have you come up and receive ministry. I just invite, you know, all of our prayer team members and prayer warriors to come up. Come up here and stand. Don't be bashful. I don't want you standing back there if you don't mind. Come up here and stand so that somebody has somebody to go to. And I would just invite the rest of you to worship the Lord.